Hello and welcome to the 123rd edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
We are here to talk North Texas football. Harry, it seems like a dream.
I can't tell you how excited, and we talked about it a little bit before while we set up, but how exciting it is tonight. You know, this has got to be the biggest game North Texas has had that I can ever remember.
It is awesome. I mean, it's to be bowl eligible. This reminds me of a lot, and we briefly talked about it before we decided, oh, we can't talk about it, we got to wait. But you think back to those original years, and the one that clinched it for us back in the day was when we played Idaho. It was on the road. Wasn't it on the road? I think
yes,
so.
Yes,
yes, it was on the road. November 17th, 2001, on the road against Idaho. I was at the Loophole. I think you were near campus.
Yeah.
Me and Rob had set up a Mean Green party at the Loophole, and the place just came unglued. People were crying. It was just, it'd been that long since we could pull something like this together.
Absolutely. And I mean, the only thing I would say is fast forward to today or tomorrow night, and I mean, you're playing Rice, who, for those of us growing up with the Southwest Conference, I mean, it's Rice. I mean, and, you know, it's a name team. It's out of Houston. They're having a great season. We're having a great season. There's just an electricity about this game that we're not in Fouts anymore. You know, we're in Apogee Stadium. We're going to be on a national broadcast with Fox Sports One. So there's so many things like that that come into play, and it's just such a huge opportunity for North Texas. If we can win this game, it would be such a dramatic step forward from where we've been over basically the last decade.
It will be very dramatic, and this is going bowl eligible, a new conference that has numerous bowl tie-ins. It is a great position to be, and you think back, well, would you rather have been more competitive for the past 2 years in the Sun Belt, or would you rather have just saved it up for this big push the first year in the Conference USA? And you got to go with Conference USA.
We have a good record starting in new conferences. I don't know if you noticed that.
We do.
When we started in the Sun Belt, no one really thought we were going to do a whole heck of a lot. We ended up winning the championship 4 years in a row, and now we're starting in Conference USA, and we're right in the thick of things.
I mean, and that just makes the Tulane hurt that much more. I hope, you know what, I think that was kind of a rallying cry. Everybody's, you know what, don't let it happen. We can't let it happen.
I think UNT90 on the board earlier today said it well. Tulane has got to be the luckiest program, you know, you've ever seen.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it just, I read up on, you know, they beat Tulsa, which was disappointing, not by much. But Tulsa's starting quarterback was injured. You know, I mean, they just have had every lucky break, and you just hope as the season plays out that their luck will change.
Well, we've got this Rice game is very important, and you look at what we have coming up. We got Rice, UTEP, UTSA, and Tulsa. If we can get past Rice, we play UTEP and UTSA at home. One of them's homecoming, going to be a great crowd. The stars are aligned if we can pull this off. You got to admit, and we discuss this too, North Texas has a history of not being able to capitalize on big moments, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, you're right, but I would also say, hey, this is a new team.
It is.
It's a new coaching staff. It's a new commitment from the university that we have not seen. Back in the Sun Belt days, yes, it was fantastic and getting to our first bowl in 50 years and everything else, but all that you're seeing happening this season, I mean, it's part of an investment in the program that we just haven't seen. Hiring Mac, giving Mac the money to hire the great assistants that he's surrounded himself with, building Apogee Stadium, going out and recruiting. You put all those pieces together, and that's where you are right now. And it's just it's a real exciting time if you're a fan, because we're close to having bowl eligibility. We have a shot at winning our division in Conference USA, and it's just a lot of fun.
Well, just to know that Conference USA coming in, there's 14 teams in the conference, I believe. 14 teams in the conference, and you look at it, we're in the top, basically the top four, no matter how you slice it. Overall record, we're in the top four. Conference record, we're right. I mean, we really look good. And this is where we wanted to be. When we talked about, you know, predictions for this season, everybody was all over the place. You always hope that we're going to pull it together. And right now we're looking at the cusp of being able to do something and still have plenty of games left.
Yeah. I mean, I think the big the big thing that's different for me this time around is what we did in non-conference was very respectable. You know, you lose to Ohio by 6 on the road. That's a good team. You beat Ball State, who, by the way, Evan, I mean, Ball State is getting some top 25 votes right now.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one of the things that kind of ticked me off. When you looked at, like, the Dallas Morning News had their rating or rankings of the teams in Texas, and you're putting SMU there, and they're like, well, it's the schedule. I'm like, you know, look who we played, and we beat Ball State. Ball State's considered top 30 or right around there or something like that.
Getting top 25 mentions.
Yeah, and okay, and we beat them, and you look at some of the other teams we played, and the games we lost were very respectable and pretty damn close to winning two of them. So
it all goes back to Tulane. Yeah, it's sort of like the Kevin Bacon theory type deal. Everything wrong goes
6 degrees
back to
of Tulane.
I'm telling you, everything wrong about things this year go back to that stupid Tulane loss that we shouldn't have lost that game. But let's push that aside. We got a great opportunity with Rice tomorrow night.
All right. Let's touch on the Mississippi State game. I mean, that's just Southern Miss game. When you look at that game, did you think you were going to see that more sort of a commanding performance?
No. I mean, I was nervous about that game because they hadn't won a game in 18 games, and you know their number was due. And you want to talk about North Texas. I mean, what was it, Kansas State, that they had like a 10-year losing streak, and then they beat it. You know, they beat
those us. Those are always great.
You know, we've always had that type of predicament. But what I would say is that was a big, solid win on the road. And I was really pleased. You know, we went and watched the game in Denton and had a blast. It was a lot of fun. But no, I was nervous about that game, and I was really proud of how they came out and played.
55-14 in front of another homecoming crowd, 23,000 people in Hattiesburg. And you look at how we came out, how we played. The only thing I think a lot of people are very concerned about is the situation with the turnovers.
Oh, yeah. The turnovers scare me to death, and especially against Rice, because Rice is good at causing turnovers. I'm going to tell you right now, Evan, if we turn the ball over against Rice, it's going to be hard for us to win. And that's the only thing about that Southern Miss game that you walk away from a little worried about.
Well, when they showed the rankings of the teams in Conference USA as far as turnovers for and against, and a lot of the other stats, North Texas and Rice look pretty evenly matched.
They do, and that's why I'm saying, you know, you go into a game like this, and one turnover can make such a huge difference. Look at Rice; they beat UTEP handily, but if you look at that actual game last week or last weekend, UTEP was hanging with them. UTEP was scoring; it was 14-7. UTEP was going down the field, getting ready to score. They fumble the ball. Rice returns it 99 yards or something for a touchdown. Things like that can absolutely – so after that, UTEP, it was a blowout. You know, I mean, I don't think that'll happen with North Texas, but what I'm saying is we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we're giving Rice opportunities.
One of the things that's been really exciting and great to watch this year is the rise of the defense, the mean green defense of old, the mean green defense we were used to during the bowl years. How is that defense going to stack up against the game that Rice is going to bring in?
I love our defense. I think – our defense is well respected across the Conference USA league and the rest of the country. You know, I think honestly, I'm real excited about how we match up with them defensively, because I think we're going to give them as good a test as they've had probably since Texas A&M. So I feel good. This is as good a defense, and I know everybody talks about when Booger and those guys were here. I think this defense has more speed top to bottom. I think this defense is deeper. And as I talked about on the board earlier today, hats off to the defensive line, the players and the coaches. We came in this season, you remember, Evan, talking about how this defensive line was a big concern. It's turned out to be a strength. A guy like Richard Abbey, who was kind of considered sort of an average player, now all of a sudden people are talking about him being an NFL defensive tackle. Ryan Boutwell having a fantastic year. You just go up and down the list. Aaron Bellazine. You know, this defensive line has been, I think it's the best in Conference USA.
And it seems to me that every week you continue to see other people pop up being the performer in that game. The names that you hear are still great, but you're seeing, it seems like, a new player on the defense that's making an impact.
Yeah, I mean, the big star last week, and of course he got the game ball and stuff, was Zach Whitfield. I mean, you know, two interceptions in a game, that's huge. But you're right. There's new names. And then what the great thing about having such a big win last week so handily against Southern Miss is at the end of the game, you got to see some of the young guys getting in there and playing. Yeah. Some of the running backs.
We were
starting
running out there, Rex Rollins, Mark Lewis. I was, wait, who's that out there? Wait, who's running? I was pulling out information trying to figure out who these guys were. I mean, because you're so used to the main names. And, you know, we've heard some of these guys out there. But seeing them run out there is great because, let's be honest, we don't have a lot of games in the past few years where we've run away with it and have been able to, you know, run the, you know, the second team guys or the younger guys out there.
No, you're right. And that's what one of the concerns is. We have so many seniors this year. How are you going to have these new guys step up? So when you can go into games that you're supposed to win and take care of business like we did in that first half, I mean, we that game was over at halftime, really. And then that gives you the opportunity to develop that depth. When you get a bowl, you know, when you get to clinch a bowl opportunity, that gives you that extra practices. That gives you that extra game. If you go to the Conference USA Championship game, that's another game. That's another chance to get these young players better prepared for their future.
When you look at the overall stats for the game, the numbers were great. You see Derek Thompson with 300 yards. Did you think were you surprised to see him in there late in the game as you did?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I tweeted that. I didn't think that made sense. But, you know, I think basically they're saying he's a senior. He deserves the chance to be out there. They finally pulled him out and put McNulty in. So,
well, he had right at 300 yards, so they pulled him. That was like the limit. Okay, you got your 300 yards to get off.
It is funny that it turned out that he got exactly 300 yards. Hey, Derek Thompson, he's proven a lot of us wrong. We had our doubts. He's had his ups and downs. But the guy, anyone that says this guy isn't having a great season is just, you know, that's a joke. He's had a great year, and he had another great game. You know, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, you win the ball game.
You know, I know that the running backs, the Rollins and Lewis, they came towards the end of the game, but they seemed to have some moments, too, that were pretty good. Obviously, a fresh set of legs against a defense that was tired, but seeing them make the cuts, it's just that was good to see that we had some depth back there.
This team has some talent. You know, Mac is doing things old school. We're redshirting a lot of guys, you know, that you see out there making plays like Mark Lewis and Rollins. They've redshirted. You know, they've had a year in the strength and conditioning program under Frank Wintridge. They're more mature. They know the system. They're in a position where they can come in either even maybe this year. You know, you got the Reggie Pegram injury. We might see one of those two guys get some playing time tomorrow night.
So also that I was looking on the chat room here that's live right now. Colorado Eagle mentioned that 21 points has been scored against North Texas off of turnovers. Now, let's be honest here. We haven't had a lot of points scored over on us, especially in the last few games. So when you look at 21 points scored off of turnovers, that's a pretty high number.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, the defense has been fantastic. I mean, you can think of a couple of moments, and you know what? They were both in losses. There was a drive that we had against Ohio late in the game that they gave up that probably,
28.
You know, hurt us. There was a drive late in the Tulane, that last drive, you know, when Tulane went the length of the field.
That hurt.
You know, those two were – they stick out to me, but if you think about it, in the entire season, to just have a couple of situations like that, they've been fantastic. And you know, you got to be happy with John Scladaney. I mean, John Scladaney has done a fantastic job with this defense.
And you watch him on the Beyond the Green episodes.
Right.
He seems to be favorite to follow around. He's got some colorful comments, and he always comes up with some zingers.
He's just a great coach. Mm-hmm. You know, that show gives him, you know, gives you a chance to see what he's really like. And, you know, he never goes, you know, a couple of times he was yelling and screaming, but for the most part, he's real level. You know, he's real calm, telling the guys what to do, getting them fired up. I just think he was a fantastic addition by Dan McCarney.
So one of the concerns of Jim, Antoine Jimerson, when you look at the turnovers in the last game and some of the turnovers he had, really concerned there. I'm sure this week that's going to be on his mind. He's got to hang on to the ball. He's put in some great performances, but the real one thing he's got to do is hang on to it during this game, because when you look at what Rice has done and their turnover percentage, they're going to be coming after it.
All the teams are now, Evan. I mean, you watch the Beyond the Green and see how Scladaney keeps telling him, knock that ball out, knock that ball out. I mean, it's just a fact of life. You don't want the kid to not be, you know, you want him to protect the ball, but we need him to be an athlete and try to make plays too.
Right.
It's just against a team like Rice, this is going to be such a big thing.
All right. So speaking of a team like Rice, you look at what they've done this year. They lost the opening game against A&M, 31-52. I mean, it's A&M. That's one of the top teams, obviously. In
number 12 or 13.
Right. Right. They beat Kansas. Lost to Houston 31-26. That was a close game, and Houston's doing pretty doggone good.
Yeah, they are. One loss or something.
Yeah, so I could see that their Houston game is similar to our Ball State game.
I would agree.
Yeah, you can see that. Then you've got the Florida Atlantic, 14-18 against Florida Atlantic. Were you surprised on that one?
Yeah. I mean, they've had some close wins, but Florida Atlantic's pretty good this year. You know, I know their record doesn't look at it, but if you look, they haven't lost by huge margins in most of their games.
Right, they haven't. They lost their coach.
Smoking that wacky weed.
You can't do that. That's a great role model when your head coach is smoking the big doob there.
I think you can do it, but don't get caught at a party doing it.
All right, well, I'm not going to condone doing it on this podcast. Tulsa, they went into overtime with Tulsa. That's very similar to the Tulane game we had. They beat UTSA 27-21. They beat New Mexico State 45-19, and they beat UTEP's 45-7.
Yeah. So, they took care of business.
Yeah, they did. And UTEP obviously is not having a great year. So, you know, the teams that we played, Tulane, Louisiana Tech, that might give them, that's still on their schedule. Right now, you're looking at their schedule, we're number one that they got to work on. So this is the target right here, because UAB, Louisiana Tech, and Tulane are, you know.
Look, Rice is the, if we can beat Rice, we have the easiest path to the end game, which right. is winning the Western Conference. Tulane is going to slip up. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, but if they slip up, they still have one loss.
Then it becomes a three-way tie.
Right.
And from what I understand, and
does it go off penetrations?
No, actually, I think it's BCS ranking. I'm asking the chat room to answer that question. If I think UNT90 was talking about this on the board, but I think they look at like the BCS rankings or something to determine who if it's a three-way tie, but. You know, that's an interesting.
Really? So it goes on a lot of things, schedule, everything else. It's not just straight up.
Well, let's think about it.
Well, Ball State, we beat Ball State, and they're ranked the highest of any team.
Well, but back to your original question. If we beat Rice and Rice beats Tulane and Tulane beat us, how could you do that head to head?
Right. Well, no, that makes sense. It's a three-way.
Yeah.
Greenbacker said BCS is correct.
Yeah. So they're going to look at BCS. And then somebody else pointed out the funny thing about it is all three of those coaches of those teams, I believe he was saying, have votes into the BCS rankings. So you could have a situation where each one of the – what if one of the coaches, like what if Dan McCarney voted North Texas, you know – high up in the BCS, you know, rankings mm-hmm. or something. Not that he would do that, but I'm just saying it makes right. it very interesting.
Right, it does. UNT90 just said Harry will be mumbling Tulane all winter if they win out.
If Tulane wins out, then I will tip my hat to Tulane and say, you know what, you pulled off an amazing season.
Yeah, that's got to be some karma or something there.
But hey, what are we kidding? Do we want Tulane to represent the Western Conference? They're leaving Conference
USA. Yeah, that's
USA.
Ridiculous. Somebody's got to beat them. Well, what does Tulane's rest of their schedule look like? Real quick, we'll go before we move on.
Okay.
So Tulane, let's see what their schedule looks like for the rest of the season. I got it right here. They play Florida Atlantic. Let's hope they give them a
run. Could be a tough game.
UTSA. UTEP, and then they close with Rice. So November 30th could be a very interesting game for us because it's Tulsa and Tulane against Rice. So there's some interesting things could happen. So they can't run the board easy.
While it's fun to talk about all this, right, Evan, we have to beat Rice.
They lost to South Alabama.
I know. Can you believe it? Jeez. I mean, you know, it's just
how does this happen?
It's one of the most painful losses I can ever remember because it's so much. Think if we had won that game and where we were sitting right now, it'd be a whole different story.
Okay, well, with that, we're 20 minutes into the podcast, and we're going to get our special guest on us, the freewheel, free-loving, motorcycle-riding, bearded man that now lives in Newport Beach, California, and that is Mean Rob Black. Give us 1 second. All right, we are joined on the phone right now with the founder of the new generation Go Mean Green, or the Mean Green Club, that was taken over by the athletic department because they needed a head start. This is Rob Black, known as Mean Rob on the board. Rob, thanks for joining us.
How you doing, boys?
So, Rob, tell us where you're at right now.
I'm standing outside in Murrieta, California.
Okay, that's typical. Rob is now bearded and living on the West Coast and follows from over there. Usually makes it back for a game on his vintage 71 CB750. So, Rob, are you living a dream with the way the team's playing?
Yeah, I got to say, I didn't think this season would go this well, and I'm more than glad to admit I was wrong, and I've enjoyed every bit of it. This team has really won me over.
Well, you do remember the last time that we were in this position. Do you remember where you were on November 17th, 2001?
Are you going to really bring up me crying after the Idaho game?
Yes, I'm going to bring up you crying. I wasn't going to actually say you were crying, but yes, that was a big moment, man, because that made us bowl eligible for the first time in years.
Yeah, I don't think any of us really knew what to do to that. I mean, we were going to a bowl, but it just didn't seem real until we really got down there in New Orleans on Bourbon Street and saw North Texas stuff everywhere. It was hard to believe that, you know, North Texas was going to a bowl game.
What was your prediction for this team before the season started?
I really thought that we would go 4-8. We had a ceiling of 5-7, and if Derek was not very good, then we could even go 3-9. I thought there was too many question marks with the secondary and the defensive line, the wide receiver, the kicking game. The crazy thing about this whole season is, if I can go on a little bit of a rant for a little bit, after, you know, getting kicked in the nuts as a North Texas fan for like the last 8 to 10 years, I'm really surprised and glad that I don't have that feeling of we're going to lose a game anymore. Somehow this team is so good in the three phases of the game that I don't go into games thinking we're going to lose anymore. And I thought that would take years to get rid of. And somehow this team has managed, just in a couple weeks, I think we're going to win out. And I'm amazed to say that. I really do. I think we're going to beat Rice. And I think we're going to win out.
Hey, I can live with that. I can live with that, Rob. That would be awesome.
You guys know me. I'm looking at things from a football perspective. And, you know, on Saturday I blew green and I look at everything at a North Texas perspective. But from Monday to Friday, I'm a pretty, you know, reasonable football fan. And I just think we're a pretty good team. And I'm stunned that we're really that good of a team. I thought we were going to beat La Tech. I thought we were going to kill Southern Miss. And just from a football perspective, I'm just amazed how good the team is. And how in all three phases of the game they're just a solid team. And I didn't think that was going to happen at the end of the year.
So Rob, you were around back in the early aughts when we had the big bowl run and we had the four consecutive New Orleans Bowl games. Compare that program way back when to this program now, and how you what you see differently between the two.
Well, I think. The difference now is that with Apogee and with McCarney, I think the ceiling is much higher for the program now. And with Conference USA, I think back then the Sun Belt was so new, and I just thought that it felt like, you know, at the end of the New Orleans Bowl run, I felt like that was it. That was our ceiling. That was the best we were going to do. And it was fun, and those teams were really good, but I think the ceiling is just way higher for the program right now. And so back then, I think we just enjoyed the ride, but I think we all kind of felt that it was going to come to an end. We weren't just going to win Sun Belt games forever. And I think just, you know, as far as the team goes, I'm on the side where I think that team would beat this team. But as far as the program goes, I think the ceiling is much higher now, and I think it's we're in a much better place to program.
So, Rob, what's been the biggest surprise from this team you've seen this year? I mean, what's been the biggest, you know, you didn't expect this coming out of them? Obviously, you thought the record would be one thing, but any player, position, side of the ball, what surprised you?
Well, I think the obvious point is Derek Thompson. I thought there was no way we were going to win this year without him being good, and he's been, I think he's been better than good. The pick six drive is all crazy, but I think he's been very good. And that's kind of obvious. What surprised me the most is really how good the defensive line has been. Secondary has been a little bit better than I thought, but we get much more pressure on the quarterback and just been more physical on defense than I ever thought we would be. I was really worried going into the season that we would just continue to give up big plays. And we give up plays now and then, but that's football. I'm just pretty surprised about how good the defensive line's been and how they just, they manhandle people at the front.
Has there been a particular player, Rob, that you've been really enjoying watching or following this year? Obviously, DT's had a great year, but another player other than the quarterback that has been surprising or been fun for you to follow?
Well, look, Chancellor's, there's no better fun player to watch than Chancellor. I mean, because he does it on kickoff returns, he does it in other phases of the game. You know, when he went up and lost that game and went up and caught the ball, not a tall receiver, but he catches the ball at high point somehow, and he's just always, you never know what you're going to get with him. He's a guy that can play against any competition. He showed against Georgia. He showed against LSU. Man, I wish we had that guy for 3 or 4 more years. But as far as him and Trice is fun to watch. It's fun to watch him hit guys, and I think those are the two players that kind of stand out. Orr's solid, but I think Chancellor's the player I like to watch the most.
All right, man, you got a couple things going on in the board here that people are asking. First question came up from Emmett. Do you miss Scotty?
Actually, what I miss is Emmett and I, after the dark years, half drunk, maybe a little more than half drunk, out in the parking lot of Fouts, we would just get ourselves worked up in the lather just how bad the team was and how bad coaching was. And I would go home and not be able to shake that feeling for days. So actually, I don't miss that. But there's nothing wrong with Scotty. We're all different kinds of fans, and we need everybody we can get. So no, I don't miss Scotty. Yes, I miss Scotty.
Nice save there, Rob. Are you the other question? Are you still flying? Are you flying your North Texas flag in Cali?
Yeah, I get questions all the time. I have multiple mean green shirts, and I get questions about North Texas and Mean Green all the time. Every once in a while, you get the person who actually knows what they're talking about. I had an Arkansas State fan come to me one day and start talking to me about football. Yeah, of course. Everywhere I go, I believe green. I believe green until I die. So, sure, I'm wearing the colors out here.
All right, Rob, somebody actually said, for those of you who don't know, please give the story of the formation of the Mean Green Club, how the administration responded, and how hard was it to get off the ground?
Well, I'll try to keep it short, but back in help me out, Harry. Harry, was that 1998?
That sounds about right, yep.
Believe me. 1999, we were going out to the games. Attendance wasn't that great. No one was tailgating. And if you were out there in 98 and tailgating, I just mean that there was hardly anybody out there. There was nothing going on. As someone who grew up a huge college football fan, it was just kind of crazy to me that people weren't out drinking beer and cooking. So I started to try to get people together. I went and talked to the AD at the time, and he basically said he didn't want me to do it. And I said, well, all right, thanks for your opinion, but I'm going to do it. So with Harry and the help of quite a few other people, we started just tailgating and cooking out, and we made shirts. We had events. We had coaches come out and speak, which at the time I thought was pretty cool. We just never had that kind of access to the coaching staff or the kind of insight, and it just kind of steamrolled. We had cool shirts and stickers, and people started asking what we were doing. I remember the administration told me that we couldn't do it unless we had a permit, and we needed to talk to the campus police. I told them, well, come out and arrest me because we're going to do it. I'm not going to get a stupid permit. And we just went out there and had fun and did what you're supposed to do at a college football game. And we started attracting a lot more attention, and it certainly wasn't a one-man show. Firefighting Rick and his buddies helped out a lot. I mean, there's too many people to name that helped out at the time. And when Rick came in, the other thing that kind of, full side note, was that they wanted us to use the Eagle name. And I said, I'm not. I'm using the Mean Green name. And so when Rick came in, they asked me if they could use the Mean Green Club name and kind of fold what we were doing into them. And I said, okay. And it just kind of took off from there. But I think people who were there back in the 90s and kind of back in the dark days would kind of tell you that you could show a foul 5 minutes prior to a game and park right next to the stadium. And there was nothing going on.
Well, I think you're right there. And that was the big issue, is nobody tailgated. There was no tailgating. And then it started brisket. And Emmett just brought this up on the board, you know, handing out brisket and bringing the grill. And you'd rent a grill, and we'd go to Baylor, the game down in Baylor, and everybody would show up. And that's how it was. And everybody, and then the shirts. And so for those of you that aren't familiar or weren't around those years, the shirts were absolutely amazing. They were just gray, you know, that kind of a grayish white, you know, that shirt, and they had the worm on there. They had the worm logo and said Mean Green on it, and it was just a basic, it kind of had the Kawasaki green little bit to it, and you still see those shirts. That was the first retro shirt, and that shirt now is like a shirt of honor, shirt of pride to have it, because that means you were here during the rough years.
Yeah, well, it's funny, back then some people who have tried to do things since then will laugh, but we would ask permission to make sure to use logos, and they would say, yeah, go ahead, because no one asked for permission, and it wasn't a big deal, you know, no one cared. There was like two shirts at the Union and two hats, and that was it. So we started making our own to make things better, and I tell you what, you know, it was a lot of fun. Anybody could have done it. I didn't do anything anybody could have done, but I will say this, when Villarreal got hired, and he said, I'm a proud member of the Mean Green Club, which he really meant to say the Eagle Foundation, which was the school thing at the time. I got a kick out of that, because everybody at the work at the athletic department at that press conference looked at me and kind of gave me a dirty look, because, you know, people would come up and say, I want to know why, and it's changed, it's much better now, but people would say, how come the Mean Green Club can do this and provide this, and the school, I give them money and it goes into a black hole? And back then, they just didn't do it the right way, and they've changed. Things are a million times better. We all have our complaints, but man, if you were there back in the 90s, you know, appreciate how much better it is now, and you know how fun it is, the tailgating experiences now.
Yeah, I think that's a huge piece of the pie there. I mean, part of the puzzle is when RV came in, he kind of embraced it and said, you know, this is what we need to build. And it has been. Now tailgating is a full-fledged. I mean, you know, 10 years, tailgating has become a huge part of North Texas, where, you know, it was illegal. I mean, they said it was illegal, and that's what's crazy. And so then RV came in and took over, and the name, the Mean Green Club, and that's what the Eagle Foundation became. And they paid Rob off by giving him the Ulysses S. Knight Award.
that was a bribe. I thought I earned that.
No, you definitely earned it. But I'm just saying, it was time. And at that point, you know, the thing was getting too big. It was a full-time job to feed brisket and organize tailgating for the masses. So it was a good time to step off and enjoy the games.
Yeah, it was getting a little too much.
All right, I got to share a couple memories, Rob, just that came to flash through my aging mind while you were talking.
Sorry.
One was that Baylor game on the road. I thought that was a really fun road trip. You know, somebody brought a keg of beer. We were in the parking lot.
And the cheerleaders partook in that.
Oh, I brought a keg of beer.
Yeah, Rob brought a keg of beer.
That's what was fun, when we were there and the Baylor fans came up to us, and we had the big old grill and the keg of beer in the back of the truck, and a Baylor fan comes up and goes, wow, even Texas fans don't bring a keg.
And then the other memory I had is, and I'm going to forget his last name, but a player on the team. He was, you know, not a star player, but his dad was just a great fan.
Steve Warren.
There you go. Steve Warren would just roll out the red carpet for us and let us come to his house and just have parties. And I'll never forget one night. There had been a little bit of drinking. And I remember we were in his pool. He had a beautiful house. And I was jumping off the roof into the pool with Brad Castle. That's a memory I won't forget.
Well, if you remember right, Richard Bridges, who was our starting quarterback at the time, was doing backflips off the roof into the pool. And I was like, this is not good.
Well, you know it's a small program when you're hanging out with coaches. And the other thing was, nothing against Mac, but you got to admit, Daryl Dickey was, when there was some alcohol drank at an event, Daryl Dickey was the most consummate hangout coach that you could have. He was great at one-liners, and everybody liked to be around him with some of the stuff he said.
Yeah, I have a bad word to say about Daryl Dickey. He could have used some PR work, but no, those were fun days. You felt like you knew every fan, and you were in the parking lot, and we had started to win, and things were rolling, and we're cooking brisket for 1,000 people, and it was just a good time. But like I said, what's going on now and where this thing can go is much higher than what it was back then.
You know, Rob, it's funny because I think about what we were dealing with back then with Fouts and no tailgating and really a body bag schedule, no facilities, and yet we still had optimism. We still had hope for the program. But if you told us then, if you took a picture of Apogee and the Athletic Center, and I mean just everything that's transpired, I think if someone showed you that, you'd be like, man, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this could, I think we had high hopes and high aspirations, but I think in a lot of ways, what's transpired with this program has exceeded those in terms of facilities and a new conference, and I mean, it's just been fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I thought if we ever got a new stadium, it was going to be Fouts on steroids. I thought it was going to be all, I thought we just, honestly, I just thought we weren't going to do it right. And we did it completely right. And, it just makes a whole difference. When people come to Apogee and are jealous of your stadium after years of being jealous of everybody else's stadium, it's a good feeling.
All right, Rob. So let's talk about this. The thing is, and one reason why we can bring up the good times is because this is a good time for North Texas. I mean, no matter how the rest of the year, you got to think with this team, it's not a 50% chance this turns out great. We've got a really good chance for the rest of the season. So it's great to look back at some of the great memories we had. But that we're talking over 10 years ago. I mean, Harry and I have been doing these podcasts since 2006. And it's been a long time since we can get back and really sit here and enjoy the wins, and that's what's making this year even so much special. So, you got to take your hats off to Derek Thompson, Breland Chancellor. A lot of these players have brought us here, and Coach Mack. And I know it's controversial for some people, but my hat's off to RV for making the right decisions. We got a wonderful stadium that obviously plays in huge to some of these victories. And the advantage, the home field advantage, is because of that stadium and how it plays out and how loud it can get. And that's a lot. That's saying a lot right there. We've come a long way since you started the Mean Green Club in the late 90s. I mean, it is a long way. Some people say we haven't gone far enough. We've come a long way.
Yeah, well, I think what's different about this team is that I thought if someone would have told me, hey man, we're going to be 5-3, I would have said, well, we did it with smoke and mirrors, and okay, well, the offense is really good, but it's not. All three phases are really good. This is a pretty good football team. I mean, we're a couple plays away from really being 7-1, and I just, as a North Texas fan, when I sat down to watch Southern Miss game, I was like, I was really planning what I was going to do in the fourth quarter because I just thought we were going to kill them. And I haven't had that feeling in years. I mean, since 2003. So I just think I think we should just sit back and enjoy that this is a really good team. And there's some really good players on this team. And as a North Texas fan, we haven't seen that in a long time.
Well, I think when you texted me and said, I really feel kind of bad for some of these Southern Miss guys, I'm like, man, how long has it been since we ever felt bad for a team we're playing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been like kind of told our little email group, I was like, in the years past, I go into every game thinking, literally, how are we going to lose this game? And right now, the way I feel about this team is, yeah, we should win this game. There's no dread at all. It's like, man, I want to go out there and watch them, you know, just kick some ass. And, you know, they're just physically putting their will on other people, and watching Abby just, you know, crush people. It's a totally different mindset we have around here for the last 7 or 8 years. And man, it's only going to get better. I think, you know, the Rice game is going to be tough, but we're going to be double digit favorites by the last three games. And we should be. And man, that's crazy.
Okay. So Rob, we gotta, it's great going down memory lane, and we all agree it's a great place we're at. Okay, tomorrow night, Thursday night game, the only show in town, nationally televised broadcast game against Rice. Both teams, Rice is 6-2, North Texas is 5-3. Let's hear your breakdown of how this game's going to play out tomorrow.
Man, I think it's going to be a back and forth game early. We have to stay away from giving away points. I think it's going to be, 21-17 in the third quarter. And then I think we just wear them down. And, I see us winning like 28-17. I think they're a pretty good team. So, to say we're going to blow them out, I think it's being way too optimistic. But I think we're going to win. I think we're going to wear them down. We just have to play our best game, which we haven't even done yet. We just can't give away easy points, and we can't, make bad turnovers. If we can stay away from there, I see us moving the ball, and, I see us winning the game.
A couple of things. I think you kind of wonder what the crowd, and since you're out in California, the weather is supposed to kind of clear out by mid-morning. Lunch tomorrow, so you should have a good crowd in the afternoon. I mean, it's obviously Denton late in the afternoon, and that's always a tough play. But
on a weeknight,
and Halloween and to boot, so you've got a lot of different things playing against us on that. But the talk and the students will come out. We've seen it before on a weeknight game. The students
Louisiana
come
Lafayette,
out.
Yeah. That game last year.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of students come out. I think one of the things also that my big question tomorrow night is: will the refs' mics work?
that's always a fun thing. You know what, though? I hope everybody's there. I hope there's a good turnout. I hope they're loud. Honestly, I don't think this team cares. I think it's kind of like the 2003, 2004 teams. They just want to beat the hell out of somebody. And watching them in the La Tech game and the Southern Miss game where they're on the road, just enjoying playing football, enjoying being, just playing the game, I don't think this team cares. I think you could, do the whole Safeway thing, and this team's going to, whoop somebody. So, I just think that this is one of those kind of magical seasons, and, I mean, it can go either way. Rice is a good team. But, if we get a win tomorrow, I don't think there's any stopping us.
Well, if we can get a win tomorrow, homecoming's the following week. I mean, that is going to be an absolute amazing atmosphere if we can pull this off tomorrow. And I think you're right. The way the team has come together, the way they're excited they are. When the last home game we meet Middle Tennessee, and seeing on the Beyond the Green video, the players look up the stands and Trice is watching North Texas. I mean, people were into that. The players could feel the energy. If we can bring that tomorrow night, that is the, I hate to cliche it, but that is the 12th man right there. And that's really what we're going to need to see.
I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but we're just a much better football team than UTEP, and that game's at home. We're a better team than UTSA, that game's at home. And we're a better team than Tulsa, and we got to go on the road. But, man, it's kind of, that game will kind of remind me of the whole when we won the Sun Belt and went to Middle Tennessee, and everybody's worried about, well, we already won, team that'll let down. And that was when Booger did his interception somersault ridiculous play. And we, beat Middle Tennessee. Man, I'm stunned. I have a really good feeling about this team, and it's really fun to watch North Texas football again.
All right, Rob. Well, Harry, you got anything else for me and Rob before we let him go?
No, man. Thanks for jumping on with us. It's always good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Rob. Well, I'm sure you'll be tuned in tomorrow night. So with that, we will probably let you go, Rob, and we will catch up with you soon and hopefully talk to you soon after a victory.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green. All right. Sorry, guys. We had a little difficulty there with
California.
Yeah, it was blame it on California.
Damn California. They always screw things up.
Yeah, so Rob moved to California to surf, the reason why he's out there. So, you know, Harry, this is really exciting. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff with this game tomorrow that has big implications on this team. And just like Rob said, you got a better feeling about this team this year than we've had in a long, long time. We've strung several things together. It's not, we won one game. Hey, what about next week? You know, it was that whole stat that we got the monkey off our back of not winning two in a row in 10 years or whatever it was, or 9 years or whatever it was. That was crazy that that's how that came together. So the fact that we are where we're at with this team, I'm just hoping it's a snowball effect.
Well, tomorrow's a huge opportunity game. We need to win. If we win tomorrow night, I'm just going to tell you right now, we will eclipse a point that during the modern era, and I'm talking about your and my, you know, and I'm older than you, we haven't had this kind of momentum. And I'm telling you from Facebook, Twitter, Go Mean Green, we're breaking records. We got more people on that site right now than we've had in a long, long time, probably ever. And I'm just so hopeful that we can grab this opportunity, because it's going to make for a real fun, you know, finish to this year. So fingers crossed. I think we got a good shot to win this game. Rice is having some injuries on the defensive line. We need to run the ball. We need to smash mouth, up the gut, no turnovers, play action, pass for the big play. I feel good about this game, Evan.
Chancellor, I want to see a lot of Chancellor. I want to see him really get out there and make those big impact special teams plays. The other schools, and they're going to watch how people have dealt with him. But you know they're kicking away from him. You know, I mean, the way we've done our formations, they're trying to make sure it stays away from him. We're trying to hide where he's going to be at. It's a lot of things there, but he has got to have a big day.
One other thing, Southern Miss, we came out, we grabbed him by the throat, we put our foot to their throat. We got to do that with Rice. I'm not saying we're going to blow him out like we did Southern Miss, but don't come out slow. Don't come out and let them get a lead and expect to come back in the second half. Let's go out there and take it to these guys. We got the home crowd. We play good at Apogee. Let's get a lead, and then let's keep building on that lead.
Exactly. Well, with that, we will let you go. Hopefully by the time you're listening to us, we want to thank the people that are in the chat room. And if you listen to us during the day, game day.
That's right.
It's amazing how quickly this week has come. And then we've got a weekend off to recuperate, and then homecoming.
So it's going to be awesome.
Some good stuff going on in Denton, home of the Mean Green. So with that, go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.